you. And I ask you to open your Bibles again to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. And this morning I want to leave verse 10 before you. Psalm 46, verse 10. There it reads in God's word, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Be still and know that I am God. With our Bibles open, let's bow our heads and ask God to bless the preaching of his word. O Heavenly Father, we do thank you for thy word. And O Lord, even as we consider this passage and consider this verse, Lord, even now, may there be a stillness in God's house. May the hush of God fall upon us. Lord, may we be still and know that God is in the midst. Lord, take thy word and apply it to each individual heart, including my own, in God's house this morning. Lord, speak loudly. Lord, speak irresistibly. Lord, we think of those who need thy word. Oh, Lord, bless it to their hearts this morning. Lord, we just pray that everything that we said and done will go down to thy honor and to thy glory. We pray in thy name. Amen. Amen. 2 years ago, my wife gave birth to our third son, Ezra. And as far as births go, maybe it's easy for me to say, things went pretty much as expected according to plan. But shortly afterwards, as my wife was getting ready to go home, she started to feel dizzy. And she asked me to hold the baby as she wasn't feeling well. And as she handed Ezra to me, she collapsed in a heap. And straight away, I knew it was very serious. My wife had lost over 3 pints of blood in seconds. And with no blood or lack of blood in her system, her organs started to shut down. I hit the panic button and a team of doctors came rushing in and they started to work with my wife and started to work on Lee. And as I looked on, I could clearly see that Lee was in the stages of dying. One of the nurses then ushered me out into another room. And as I stood in that room holding my newborn son, a real fear, a real panic, a real dread came into me. I found it hard to breathe. I started to think the worst. I started to think, how can I cope with 3 boys, one being a newborn? How could I raise 3 boys? What am I going to tell Lee's mom? And my world was crashing around me. And I was in a real state of panic. And I will never forget that feeling. But then all of a sudden, in the middle of the chaos and panic, Psalm 46 and the first 10 came into my heart. And it was as if someone whispered it into my ear. Johnny, be still and know that I am God. This is why this passage is very close to me. And instantly, an overwhelming peace and assurance came upon me as I knew no matter what the outcome, my God is in control. I thank God for his mercy and his grace. And after some time and intensive care, Lee came through it and recovered. But I will never forget that day standing in the waiting room. And I will never forget Psalm 46, verse 10. And it will always have a special place in my heart. Among all the chaos, amongst all the panic, I was reminded to be still. I know God. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, God's word is mighty. It's powerful. And Psalm 46 has been written in a state of chaos or a state of crisis. Things have been turned upside down. We read that war is raging. We read that the enemy is at the gate. It would seem that nations are no longer in order. And amidst all the chaos, amidst all the war, we hear the voice of God saying, "Be still. I know that I am God." And maybe it's a case that there's someone in the meeting this morning, and your life has been turned upside down. Great trouble has come your way. Circumstances have changed. And you're in a state of panic. You're in a state of worry. You're in a state of concern. Maybe you've got bad news about your health. And you're worried what lies before you. Maybe it's a matter concerning a family member or a loved one. Parent. Maybe your heart's broken for that wayward son or that wayward daughter. Maybe it's a financial situation. Maybe it's a case that the enemy is at the gate, and it would seem whatever way you turn or whatever what you do, you're being attacked, even in God's work. And it's relentless. And you feel sick to the pit of your stomach. And you're sitting this morning and you have this anxiety. You have this depression upon you. Friend, God says, be still. Be still. And know that He is God. Know that God is in control of your life and of all things. Be still and put your confidence in Him. Stop the worry. Stop the panic. But look to your Savior. Look to Christ. Look to God. And trust Him. Prove Him. Be still. We should be still because God is the God of our salvation. And so the psalmist reminds us of this right throughout the passage. Look at verse 1. Verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. Present. He's with you. Verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early in God's time. Verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. The word refuge means shelter or protection from danger or trouble or a place of safety. And the Psalm 46 tells us, amidst all the noise, amidst all the chaos, that Almighty God is our shelter, is our protection, is our safety. The small word Selah at the end of the verse means to pause, to stop, and to consider what is being said. God is our refuge. Pause. And this morning I want us to pause and consider that Almighty God is our refuge, our help, and is very much with us and shows His mercy and presence in times of trouble. Isn't that a wonderful thought to stop, to pause, and to dwell upon? Your heart's breaking this morning. And God's word tells you to pause and consider that He is your refuge, your place of safety. Dear Christian, no matter how big or how serious that trial is that you're facing, and I don't undermine that in any way, shape, or form. No matter how big it is, God is your refuge. God is your shelter. and you're not going through that trial alone. But despite the promises we are given throughout the Word of God, how when trouble comes to our doors, we panic. We don't behave the way we ought as children of God. How we think of the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 14 at the Red Sea. God had delivered them out of the hands of the Egyptians. Despite God showing them the grace and the power of God by delivering them out of the hands of the Pharaoh, despite them witnessing thousands and thousands of Egyptians dying through the plagues, but yet they were not touched. Despite knowing that God had delivered the firstborn through the Passover, despite all these things, the minute they were cornered, they forgot the salvation of God and they murmured. All they could see was the sharp mountains surrounding them. All they could see was the Red Sea in front of them. And the enemy at their heels, and panic sets in and they're blinded by fear. They concentrate on the fear. They concentrate on the barriers. But then Moses reminds them of their Savior. And he says, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today." Friend, stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. And you know something, dear brother and sister in Christ? How we can be like the children of Israel when we're facing difficulties and trials. And the fear sets in and we panic. We panic. We go running to this person and that person trying to find comfort. And I'm not saying that that's wrong to confide and share your burden. But what is wrong is when we forget that we belong to God and He is our Savior. We forget the price that was paid for us. We forget the love, the grace, and the mercy that was shown when the Son of God bore our price on Calvary's hill. We forget how much the Lord loves us and how precious we are in His sight. We're not saved by mere chance. We're not saved because there's some good in us. We are not saved because we happen to be brought up in the Free Presbyterian Church. No, we are saved through the grace of God. Called unto salvation. Elected unto salvation from the beginning of time. We're told in 2 Timothy 1 and 9, "Who have saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." We are saved through God's divine purpose, through the sacrifice of His Son on the cross. And if God is willing to sacrifice His own Son for the salvation of His elect, for them that are called, then we must have absolute assurance this morning that God loves us and will never, ever forsake us. Amen. Told in Hebrews 13, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." And no matter what circumstances comes our way, no matter what trial we go through, we need to remember God's salvation. The sacrifice that was made for God's people. And the Lord will never, 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 never leave you. God is with you. God is with you. Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Not only should we be still in trials and know that God is the God of our salvation, but we should also be still and know that God is sovereign. God controls and orders all things, and His way is perfect in all things. If you turn to Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, in the verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And those three small words at the start, "and we know," have such a massive meaning, because these three words express the Christian's absolute certainty of eternal security in Christ. "And we know." And Paul, under the influence of the Holy Ghost, drives home and asserts with God's authority that as Christians, we know beyond all doubt that every element, every detail of our lives is in God's hands and God's providence, and will be used to God's own glory, and also to work out our own glorification. "And we know." Do you know, dear Christian, that you're safe in the arms of God? And it's a grip that can never let go. And everything working in your life, no matter how dark it seems, no matter how tragic it is, no matter how much the heart breaks, all things are working together for good to God's glory. What a blessing it is to know that before the foundation of this earth, we were known to God, that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. What a blessed thing to know this morning that we are called to his purpose. And that day and hour we are saved, it was not of ourselves, but we were called unto salvation. That salvation belongeth to God. And through the blood that was shed, we have been made justified, not just for a moment, not as long as we don't sin, but a justification that we can never lose, because it was a justification according to God's divine purpose and will. And we know. I tell you something, dear Christian. No matter how hard we get it in this world, we know with absolute certainty that someday we shall be glorified. Someday we shall see our Savior face to face. And we know that all things work together for good. The all is utterly comprehensive. No limits. No restrictions. All things is inclusive in its fullest sense. Paul is not saying that God prevents his children from things that can harm or cause grief. But what Paul is saying, that God takes all things. He allows to happen to work together for good. Yesterday, I had to remind my mother-in-law and father-in-law that through the heartache, and there's some very sentimental things in that car that belonged to Shirley's sister who had died. And she was breaking her heart. Not over the cards or the money, but over the sentimental things. And we had to remind ourselves, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Therefore, no matter what our situation, no matter what trial we are going through, no matter what our sinful failure is or our lack of faith at times, our Heavenly Father is working all together to our ultimate victory. Everything in our lives is working together for good. C.H. Spurgeon said this, and I want you to listen to this closely. "There is no attribute more comforting to his children than that of God's sovereignty. Under the most adverse circumstances, in the most severe trials, They believe that sovereignty has ordained their afflictions, that sovereignty overrules them, and that sovereignty will sanctify them all. There is nothing for which the children ought more earnestly to contend than the doctrine of their master over all creation, the kingship of God over all the works of his own hands, the throne of God and his right to sit upon that throne. It is God's providential power and will that cause all things in our lives to work together for good. God is in control. Nothing by chance. Nothing by chance. How the children of Israel faced so many trials in the wilderness. But then Moses reminds them behind it all, there was a sovereign will. He tells them that they forgot the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water. He brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee. In other words, what he's saying is, all those afflictions, there was a purpose behind it. And it was to humble the children of Israel. And that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter day. All these things were sent to test their trust and faith in God. That they might be humbled, that they might prove God. But then we're reminded in the first 18 that all these things will do them good to the latter end. What seemed terrible at the time was in God's purpose and divine will. That's hard to accept at times. It's hard to accept. When I was watching my wife lying on the floor of that hospital, it was hard to accept that that was God's purpose, that God was in control. So I don't belittle it. But it is. And we should accept it. And we should trust in it. Dear Christian, as you go through that trial, be still and know that God is sovereign. That God is in control. And have that assurance that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Lastly, we are to be still in the greatest trials and heartaches to glorify God. We're told in the Catechism that man's chief end is to glorify God. And when we are in the middle of the fiery furnace, we glorify God before our friends and family by simply standing still. Knowing that our God is the God of our salvation and that he is sovereign. We demonstrate the power of God through our lives. Even through the fiercest trial. I knew a man, an old man, who lost a child. And in my mind, I can't think of anything worse. And at the funeral, amidst the tears, he said, God giveth and God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he proved the Lord. And his family stood in awe. How we all know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel, when they refused to obey King Nebuchadnezzar's command to worship a golden image. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are cast into the fiery furnace. The furnace was that intense that the flames consumed the men at the mouth of the furnace that bound Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And in the middle of the furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell down and was still. And King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished that no harm was coming to them. And as he stirs at the fire, he sees a fourth person. And the form he says of the fourth was that likened unto the Son of God. In the middle of that fiery trial, those three godly men, King Nebuchadnezzar had seen Christ. And dear friend, dear brother and sister, when we are going through the trials, can men and women see Christ in our lives? Can they see an assurance that they do not have? Can they see a calm that they don't know about? Can they see Christ in your life? John Huss was a Czech priest. who was burned at the stake for heresy against the doctrines of the Catholic Church. He was an early reformer living before the time of Luther and Calvin. And we read that Huss was martyred on the 6th of July, 1415. He refused to recant his position of the charges that were brought against him. On that day he died, he said to have stated this: God is my witness that the things charged against me I never preached. In the same truth of the gospel which I have written, taught and preached, drawing upon the sayings and positions of the holy doctrines, I am ready to die today. And we're still talking about it. The world seen Christ and that Christian's death. We think of the first martyr, Stephen. And even through that terrible death by stoning, he cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." Oh, he didn't whisper or mutter these words under his breath. No, with a loud voice he cried so that all could hear. And by doing so, he glorified his Savior. Imagine that. Being stoned to death. An angry mob. And amidst all the chaos, amidst all the trial, the tribulation of facing a terrible death, he cries in mercy and forgiveness, "Lord, don't hold us to their charge." And the man, a woman, seen Christ in his death. You know, in Acts chapter 7, the first 60, it tells us that Stephen cried these words, he fell asleep. Something I picked up recently. The Bible doesn't say that Stephen died, but instead he fell asleep. And you know something, I thought about that. And you fall asleep when you're at rest. Sleep. And you sleep. And sleep is a place when your mind is at rest. And I don't know about you, but say if there's something troubling me, I can't get to sleep. I'm up, I'm downstairs eating biscuits, I put the kettle on, I'm tossing and turning, and my mind's anxious. But when I'm at peace, there's nothing going on stressing me in life, I can sleep like a baby. You can hardly get me up. Stephen was at rest. He was at peace with God during his death. We read in Psalm 23 and verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me." You see, Huss and Stephen, even when faced with the greatest trial and the most horrible death, they showed the world what it is to be still and to know God. And by doing so, they glorified God and his wonderful name. I know sorrow and grief is very real. And as I said at the start, I've never tried to undermine that. I know your heart groans for the loss of a loved one. And once again, I would never belittle that. I know those trials that you face are frightful and they disturb you. But can I encourage you this morning through God's word, through all the chaos, through all the anxiety, through all the depression, be still. I know you have a God who loves you, who has saved you, and who's in total control of your life. Show the world Christ through your trials and prove your Savior. Dear and saved friend, I'm sorry, but you have no such comfort. You have rejected the sovereign God that I speak about this morning. You do not belong to him. You have no peace, no assurance in Christ. And the only thing that you have this morning is the assurance that you shall stand before him in judgment. I do not know how you get through this life. I do not know how you face those trials and those moments in your life with no Savior. But that can change in a moment. You can get saved this morning. Why don't you be still and know God this morning? Why don't you bow the knee and simply ask Christ into your heart and then go forward with the full assurance of Christ in your life and Christ as your Savior? That can happen now. Will you not be still this morning? And know God. Ask Him into your heart. And be saved. For all eternity. One of our sisters prayed in the prayer meeting this morning. And it touched my heart. Every single filthy, single, stinking sin blotted out. Removed by the blood. Glory to God. You can have that peace, that assurance this morning if you ask Christ, repent of your sins and ask Christ in your life. I pray that God's word has been an encouragement to each of you. I do pray that if there's anyone in the meeting who is concerned about their soul, well, please remain behind, speak to one of the elders or speak to myself, but don't go home without accepting Christ as your Savior. Stay on and speak. We're going to close our meeting with a hymn number 475. I do not know what lies ahead, the way I cannot see, yet one stands near to be my guide. He'll show the way to me. I know who holds the future, and he'll guide me.